behind a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday. Happy Martin Luther Jr. King Jr.'s Day. And anyway, I got that all messed up. That's the way I am on Mondays. Anyway, it's cold. I know there's a lot of calves born this weekend, but so far everybody says everything was good. We'd had a bunch of snow on the ground, it would have probably been a little different story, but we didn't. Guess what? So that's good. Anyway, currently it is 15 degrees at Hollis, 10 degrees at Slap Out, 12 degrees at Cheyenne, home with a secret weapon, 13 at Cherokee, 10 at Watonga out here in the panhandle of Texas, 11 degrees at Lipscomb, 13 at Canadian, 12 at Miami, 15 at Dozer, 14 at Wellington, 15 at Odell. Wind chills are all in the negatives everywhere. The coldest I see in the state of Oklahoma right now is actually Miami at 9 degrees up there in the northeastern part of the state. So anyway, we got lots to do today. I got a special guest that she's in the studio. If you're watching Facebook, you can see her right now. She didn't know she was on anyway. So that's what I like doing to my guests. That you're on Facebook anyway. So anyway, we got her. Meg will be in here, or she's here. We're going to talk about the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. We're going to be talking about regenerative ranching and all kinds of good stuff today. So it should be fun. I actually just now met her just a few minutes ago, but I've had good words from everybody about her. So she must be pretty sharp at what she does. So. All right, but first, I have all kinds of information to give out to you. The markets are closed today. Sale barns closed at Clinton at Western Oklahoma. And according to Facebook, Rex is not going to have a sale Wednesday. I don't know if they're having a sale at Woodward tomorrow. As soon as I find out, I'll let you know. Or if anybody knows, text that in to me at 580-225-9697. First, let's do this. The Custer County OSU Extension. Well, Custer County, Warstall, Roger Mills, and Beckham are all doing this together. But there's going to be a beef seminar as of right now, Wednesday, January 17th at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Custer County Fairgrounds. Speakers are going to be Daryl Peel, Marty New, Dr. Biggs, all from OSU. Topics are going to be cattle marketing and futures, cow-calf nutrition, risk management, and veterinary and recruitment for Western Oklahoma, and lunch will be served. So this is from 9 to 12 coming up Wednesday. And then also, there's a lot going on this week. That's all I can tell you. Let me find all this. Okay, also coming up this Wednesday down at Altus is the Red River Crops Conference. And they're going to be talking Wednesday is Cotton Day agenda, all kinds of things going on there. And then the next day, the 18th, Thursday, will be the in-season and summer crops day agenda. So there's lots going on there. So anyway, busy time down there. If you want the deal down at the Red River Crops Conference is Texas A&M AgriLife Extension and OSU Extension together doing this. So it's going to be a really good thing going on at Altus. So anyway, just wanted to remind you about that. And then also coming up the 18th of January is the OCA, which today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour at the show all day. OCA policy development meeting January 18th at the Hilton Garden Inn in Edmond. On what is that, 2833 Conference Drive. That'll be going on. OCA membership is required to attend, but I bet if you show up and you aren't a member, you can member up and go. And then registration begins at 8:30, program at 9:30, lunch will be served at 12. the some of the keynote speakers they're going to have. Attorney General Drummond's going to be there, and Executive Director of the Oklahoma Broadband Office, Michael Sanders, will also be there. So that's coming up on the 18th, too. So busy week. And I'm going to do my show live from Clinton over there at the Custer County Fairgrounds after the beef seminar. So anyway, we're going to have a good day over there. So as I mentioned, Dr. Biggs, Dr. Peel, Marty New, all those guys are going to be over there. If you guys have any questions you want me to ask them on the show, all you got to do is let me know. 580-225-9697. For any questions for Dr. Peel, Dr. Biggs from the veterinary, our DVM in charge of the vet school at OSU at Stillwater. So, got any questions? Now's a good time to ask them. I got a few already written down from some people from the round table at the coffee shops in the morning. So, anyway, we got that going on. Okay, let's see here. Well, let's go ahead and take OCA break. And let's get to Meg, because we got lots of questions to ask her today. We're going to talk about the new SHIP program too, through the conservation districts, but we're going to talk about regenerative ranching. And that sounds like, did I say that right? Yeah, I said that right. So anyway, we're going to be talking about all kinds of good stuff. And if you got any questions for the text line, it's wide open, because you guys know that I don't take live calls from the friends I have. So anyway, we'll be back right after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens, and we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in four different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6950. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers with managing livestock risk protection. LRP is the cheapest way to establish a floor price for your cattle while leaving the top side open. Policies are available for calves, stocker cattle, and feed yard cattle, with no upfront costs or margin calls. For LRP and crop insurance, contact Andy or Codell at the Night Watch Group, 580-334-7995. Hold on to your ag investment at nightwatch.net.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January the 5th. 1,750 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 412 brought 320. 4 at 490 brought 296. 12 at 596 brought 239. 9 at 611 brought 253. 8 at 709 brought 212. 10 at 717 brought 225. 3 at 798 brought 195. 2 head of heifers at 426 brought 260. 6 at 451 brought 254. 5 at 502 brought brought 246. 8 at 541 brought 234. 4 at 563 brought 234. 10 at 805 brought 190. 8 at 873 brought 185. Butcher cows were 31 to 119. Butcher bulls brought 55 to 119.50. Bred cows were 1,035 to 2,000. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for the Texas Panhandle. Miami, Texas, not Miami, Miami. 13 degrees, wind chills at 2. The humidity's at 40%. Dew points minus 7. The winds are out of the northeast at 7 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 16 miles an hour. 1.06 inches of rain, month-to-date precipitation. No red flag minutes. 731 minutes of sub-freezing minutes. Imagine that. 8-inch soil temperature, 35 degrees. Well, in the studio with me today is Miss, and I hope I don't mess this up, Meg Greske. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, cool. Anyway, great. Anyway, so Meg is in the studio with us. And Meg, tell everybody who you are.
All right, well, my name is Meg Greske, and I work for the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. I am program coordinator of the soil health team. And in addition to that, I'm also a rancher in Roger Mills County. I have a little place between Hammond and Strong City that I rent, and I am running a high-density, frequent rotation grazing program up there. I started out the winter taking care of some bucking horses, and now I have a group of bred heifers up there.
What kind?
What kind of heifers?
Yeah.
Well, probably just your general commercial heifers. There's some black ones, there's some red ones, yes. And there is one yellow heifer.
And that's probably your favorite one, isn't it?
I am quite partial to red cattle. I've had a long history raising them.
So where were you born and raised at?
I was born up in the Great Lakes region.
Oh, ooh. So this weather ain't nothing to you, is it?
I came down here because I wanted to spend a little bit more time in some warm weather and sunlight. So I'm feeling a little ripped off right now.
Yeah,
it followed me down here.
Yeah, it's. I mean, this doesn't happen that often, but when it does, it always hits with a vengeance. Because I think the last really cold one we had was 2 years ago, coming up February. Because I remember, because I was calving heifers, wasn't no fun.
I remember that because I was working for the vet clinic in Shattuck, and we had a bunch of really cold calves come in.
Oh, so you're, where's the vet clinic Shattuck at? I know where the one in Arnett it was, or south of Arnett. Where's the one at Shattuck?
It is just north of town on 15 as you're heading up north back toward Woodward area.
Yeah, that's right. You work for the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, and you're on the soil team. And how is that related to our conservation districts? Like, we have the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District here.
So the state of Oklahoma has 84 local conservation districts, and OCC, the Conservation Commission, which is the group that I work for, we are the state agency that is overseeing the districts. And so they get their funding from us, and we work to support them in any way possible.
So how long have you been working for OCC?
I started in June of 2021, I believe.
So about 3 years?
Yeah, about two and a half.
So how do you like it so far?
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, this job is a great fit for the kind of life that I want to live.
Right.
What's my favorite thing about our team is that there are 8 of us scattered throughout the state, and all of us are farmers and ranchers.
Right.
So,
and that's important.
Yes, everything that we recommend to other producers are practices that we use on our own operations.
Right. And so what's the craziest operation you've ever seen that you've been to? Without throwing any names or anything out there, I know you've seen something that's really strange, but it probably works.
Something in Oklahoma that's really out of the box?
Yeah, outside the box.
I would have to think on that one for
a moment. What about up north?
Oh, I mean, there's some things that I haven't seen personally, but I have heard about.
Right.
There's a couple of guys named Zach Smith and Jason Mock, and they are developing an autonomous, what they call a stock cropper. So it is a type of autonomous pen system for small animals, such as sheep and goats or chickens, that they're developing to rotate those animals through cropland or through grazing land on its own.
Right.
So it It's like a frequent rotation system that you don't need to always be there for.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've seen some stuff where, like for backyard chicken farmers, they've had these little things on wheels where they can just physically move them and get them in a different spot every day where they're not just messing up, just killing that spot. So that sounds pretty cool.
Now, there seems to be this perception out there that regenerative agriculture or soil health agriculture is somehow unscientific or anti-technology, that we're trying to go back to the horse and buggy days, which couldn't be farther from the truth.
Right.
Because there is so much innovation happening in this space right now. Just a couple of years ago, Jimmy Smith, he is a farmer here in Elk City area, hosted a field day where we all saw how he was trying out plant moisture sensors. And so they were these little sensors that clip on a corn stalk. And so you can monitor the plant's water status and level of stress, and therefore not turn on your irrigation systems if the plants don't need it.
Right.
So we're using things like that to conserve water. OCC, my team, is involved with OSU and a bunch of other entities in a research project on virtual fencing systems for livestock.
Right.
So basically they're like invisible fences for dogs, but they go on livestock. So right. You put the collar on the animal, set the grazing boundaries on your phone or on your computer, and as the animal walks up to the line that you set, the collar starts to beep. And if the animal does not stop and turn around, they receive an electrical pulse similar to what they would get from an electric fence.
Right.
And the animals train really quickly to this, and therefore, I mean, that would open up a whole new world of grazing flexibility without having to be out there moving hot wire all the time.
All the time, yeah, because I see that's one of the, not really complaints, but issues with people that are doing this rotational on their deal with the hot wires. Is there, it's labor demanding. So, I mean, if the hot wire, if this visible fence deal, is that available yet? Are they still in development on it? What's going on with that?
Well, there is one company that is currently selling these systems in the United States called Vence, V-E-N-C-E. But starting later on in 2024, there are going to be other companies, one of which is called No Fence, that will be commercializing in the U.S. Like, most of these systems are coming from overseas where they've been sold and been used for a long time. And then there are other systems called Corral, Gallagher is going to do eShepherd, and there's a few more that are going to come online very soon. So I think within the next few years, there's going to be a lot of options.
Right. Well, that sounds, I mean, what's hard about that? I mean, it's probably a little bit of expense cost up front, but, you know, there's some guys around here could use that with their fencing they got right now along the roads.
Yeah, I mean, the major advantage to these systems is that they will allow you to manage your grazing with precision and greatly increase the percentage of your forage that you can efficiently harvest. And even if you don't grow a single extra blade of grass, just that increase in harvest efficiency will allow you to increase your stocking rate immediately.
Right.
So I believe these systems will more than pay for themselves.
Right. What is the advantage to doing what we're talking about here, your rotational grazing? What is the advantage? Because the thing I see in my pastures, even though I rotate, they're bigger pastures, even though I rotate, the cows like to hang out in certain areas in each one of those pastures. And they might be 12-inch grass, 100 feet away, but they want to be nibbing on this, you know, down to the ground.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. How much time do you have?
we got all kinds of time.
Yeah, so my role on the OCC team, not just as the program coordinator, but is also a specialist and a consultant in grazing management. So the problem with set stocking or just continuous grazing is that livestock have no concept of saving it for later. And when you give livestock too much grass all at the same time, they can't eat that all within the allocation period where that forage is of decent quality. So say if you turn a small number of livestock out on a large acreage and leave them there long term, they will continue to eat their favorite plants over and over and over again. So they'll start by eating the most palatable stuff, they'll ignore the rest, and then when those plants start to regrow, they will come back and eat that regrowth because it's the highest quality thing out there. So over time, if you do not protect those palatable plants from getting grazed too frequently, those plants will get killed out. Meanwhile, everything else that the livestock don't prefer, which are weeds and lower quality grasses, those things take over because they're not being damaged by that grazing, so they have a competitive advantage. So the biggest benefit to frequent rotation grazing systems is that the animals are harvesting the pasture or the rangeland in an organized fashion. So if you think about when you harvest hay, you don't just drive your tractor willy-nilly in all kinds of crazy spirals and circles and everything all over.
For the good stuff, you get it all.
Yeah, you go in an organized fashion up and down in rows so that you get all of the forage with the lowest expenditure in machinery time and fuel. So when we're talking about rotational grazing or controlling livestock's grazing movements, we're doing the same thing. So they are harvesting your forage in an orderly fashion, and they are leaving that stuff alone that they have already grazed and so that it can regrow.
Right.
So therefore, when you're not damaging those plants, but you are harvesting them in an efficient manner, every plant gets grazed, and so there's nothing that is So none of the undesirable plants are given a competitive advantage and being left alone and untouched, and none of your preferred forages are being damaged.
Gotcha.
So forage quality and quantity will improve because plants are grazed and then left alone to recover, and then forage utilization percentage will go up as well because you're harvesting it in an efficient fashion.
Right.
And so what this translates to is higher stocking rate that you can sustain on your ground without damaging your ground. And you're also giving your livestock fresh forage on a regular basis. So in a feedlot, those animals are given a new batch of TMR multiple times a day. Whereas on your grazing lands, when you set stock or you don't rotate very quickly, your livestock have one allocation of forage to make do on for however long. And so especially when we're talking about dormant season grazing, like right now, say that if I were to turn my livestock out on my pasture and give them the entire thing and let them stay there all winter, within the first couple weeks, they're going to have eaten anything that was of any value. And so livestock diet quality is going to get progressively worse. So since I am frequently rotating, I'm trying to do daily moves with these cattle. Sometimes it's every other day. The livestock get a fresh ration every day, and so I'm rationing out that high quality forage so that it'll last me the entire winter.
Right. Well, and plus, if you rotate and they're not running where I was talking about, that spot that they like to hang out the most at, like you were saying, they'll go off for a little bit, get a little more growth over here, and they'll come back and they'll keep nibbing it off and, you know, and going for that. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty good. So give it, let's take a break first, and before we get into this next question, and we're going to take an OCA break right now, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour today, every Monday. Just seen this. Woodward is going to sell cows Thursday before the calves at the Woodward Sale Barn, FYI. So we got that down right. And so, yep, no sale today at, obviously, at Clinton at Western Oklahoma. No sale tomorrow at Woodward with the cows. They're going to sell Thursday. And as of right now, according to Facebook, social media, Hoover Stockyard will not be having a sale Wednesday. So there you go. So we're going to take an OCA break. We'll be right back. If you got any questions you want to ask Meg, you guys can already tell she knows her stuff. So this is going to be a fun day. We're going to probably spend the whole show with you today. How's that sound?
Anyway, I will not run out of things to talk about.
I'm pretty sure we won't. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics bull and female sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30. Selling 90 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 20 commercial bred heifers. They've got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. They've been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. The Davis Angus Value Genetics bull and female sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30 p.m. on County Road 2150 near Foss. Get information at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale-per-hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Beef. That's what's on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 11th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 27th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. They're selling 70 yearling to two-year-old bulls and 20 bred heifers. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 27th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, we got a horse story to tell you guys about. That was pretty funny. Okay, let's see here. I am going to do some ag weather for northwestern Oklahoma and pick a town. Pick a town up northwestern Oklahoma right off the top of your head.
I used to live in Gage.
Oh, okay. Let's do Gage. They got a mess net. Let's see here. Gage. We got Laverne. That's close enough.
Let's go to Laverne. I got some friends in Laverne.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're going to have to go with Slap Out because even Laverne doesn't have a mezzanine center. Here, okay. Here's
Slap Out. Too.
Slap Out's close enough. Big town of Slap Out. Hey, Slap Out. Here is your ag weather update. 11 degrees. Feels like minus six, that is. Dew points -2, humidity's 54, the winds are out of the northeast at 15 with wind gust up to 22. 10-day rain total, 0.09 inches, so they must have got some snow. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 31 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water is not working. Sunsets at 5:48. Today, 11 for your high, mostly cloudy. Tonight, 1 above for a low. And tomorrow, it's going to be a heat wave. 30 degrees and sunny tomorrow with hardly any wind out of the west and southwest. All right, Miss Meg Greske is in here with me. She's with the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. And thanks again for coming in. It was a holiday for you guys today, too, isn't it?
Yeah, yesterday I was looking at my schedules and I was thinking, oh, well, wow, I almost forgot about that interview because it's not technically a work day. But...
But I sent you a text this morning to remind you. So anyway, Well, during the break, she was talking about, I was asking her if she still had these bucking horses out on her place, and she said she didn't. But tell the story about the horses and not knowing what to eat when they showed up on the world's blue stem, our big blue stem.
I was more referring to the cattle with that story, but there are plenty of fun stories to tell about the horses, too. As I have a decade's worth of experience in grazing cattle on hot wire, but this is the first time that I've tried to do horses, and there's not a whole lot of information out there about how to manage a large herd of horses as livestock on a high-density regenerative grazing program. Everything I could find about horse grazing or horse nutrition or management just refers to, you know, your backyard horse or your barrel racing horse. So I kind of had to figure this out on my own. Horses are a little more difficult to train to hot wire than cattle are, and visibility matters a lot.
Right.
So I'm using some, like one and a half millimeter. No, that would be even too big. Gosh, I forget the size, but some aircraft cable.
Oh yeah.
Hot wire fence, which is thinner than high tensile by a little bit. It's about 14 or 15 gauge, and the horses would go through that every single time just because they couldn't see it. Nighttime, daytime, didn't matter. Cattle will stay in that stuff good, not horses. But I have braided white poly wire hot wire that they would stay in because that's easier for them to see. And given the choice to do it again, I would probably go with even a thicker electric cable. So visibility is really important to horses. And once they touch that wire, it's too late, because instead of jumping backward like cattle when they hit it, horses will just charge right through it. So I just picked up hot wire for about the first 2 weeks every day.
So
they did train, though.
Right. Well, I enjoy watching cattle learn about the new hot wire. And it's kind of sorry on the mama cow side. They send the babies up there to test it. And because I honestly think the mamas, I think they can smell it. And anyway, the little ones, they'll just watch their reaction when they touch them, and then they just turn around and go the other way. So that's pretty, it's cruel, but it's kind of fun to watch.
There was a video that went around Facebook last winter that I was absolutely crying laughing just watching it. It was somebody had put like voiceovers on a video of wheat stocker calves that were testing the wire. Oh, it bit me.
I think I remember seeing that. But anyway, well, back to business with grazing. Now if I can remember my question I was going to ask you before we was going to break. Oh, okay. So I'm going to give you a plot of land, and you tell the listening audience how you would set it up. So I've got 80 acres of Bermuda grass, pasture land. Let's just go with pasture land. And I want to divide it up, and I want to do this rotational grazing, and I have water in the middle of this pasture, so I should be able to make pies or whatever you think. How would you recommend to somebody they do that? Because where our water positioning is in our pastures could matter how we do this.
Well, the first thing that I would want to ask you is about your goals and about the time that you can spend. Because everyone's heard about these ranchers that are moving cattle about five times a day, and everyone said, oh, no, I don't have that kind of time. I can't do that. Well, the good news is that you don't have to do that. So I would tell people that you want to move your cattle every time you go out there to check them, because you're already going to be there.
Right.
So it's not going to, in theory, cost you any more time than you're already spending. So in order to plan how many paddocks you would need, we would want to talk about how much time that herd of livestock needs to spend on that 80-acre plot, how much recovery time that forage is going to need that you're going to need to be on some other plot at that time, and the number of livestock you want to put on there, and so on and so forth. But the way that I would set things up to begin with is probably just to split it in either half or split it in quarters and then go from there
and see what happens.
Yeah, you don't need to go 0 to 100 your first year. You don't need to go from continuous grazing to daily moves.
Right.
Anything is better than nothing.
Right. Well, and this will work for other animals too. I mean, we've heard your experience with the horses, but there's starting to be a lot of goat and sheep in our area around here, big herds. Or flocks, whichever they're called. But anyway, I could see where that would be beneficial to them to rotate.
Oh, absolutely. there are going to be virtual fence collars coming out for sheep and goats, which I'm personally very excited about, because usually the big rub with sheep and goats is the fencing infrastructure.
Right.
And there is electric net wire that can be moved for sheep and goats, and there are even ranchers that are keeping sheep and goats in one or two strands of hot wire.
Right.
I don't really know the details too much on how exactly to accomplish that, but I know it is being done.
Well, there, last year I noticed the people from Arkansas that they'd come in to do the grazing, clean the weeds and cattails and stuff out along Elk Creek. They had that fencing up, that electric netting up. So that was pretty smart on their part. That kept the varmints from coming in, too.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways that you can control livestock grazing that don't have anything to do with fence as well. So if you're the kind of guy who prefers to spend your time on horseback, I mean, there are people out there who can teach you a lot about herding and placing livestock, or even what's called instinctive migratory grazing, which is a method of stockmanship where you basically can teach livestock to group up and high density rotate themselves.
Right.
So there's ways to do it that are a lot more cowboy than using hot wire. And there's even a lot you can do just with the placement of your lick tubs or your liquid feed or where you deposit your cake, where you put your salt blocks. Just turning water tanks on and off can be a way to rotate livestock in large pastures.
Right. Just show up, start moving your lick tubs and turn that water off and move on to the next spot, and then they'll be over there the next day for sure, probably.
Yeah, there are ways to do this where you don't hardly have to get out of the pickup.
Right. Yeah, well, that's probably pretty important to a lot of farmers because they are in livestock producers because they're busy and they got it going on. And so your soil health team that you're on, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the number one function of the soil health team is to assist producers throughout the state in adopting soil health and regenerative management practices successfully. So whether you're a cropland guy or a rancher, whether you're on tame pasture or native rangeland, large or small, and even rural or urban, we can help you. Urban ag, I guess, is the next biggest frontier in agriculture, where people in developed areas are adopting conservation practices just in their backyard, in their gardens, and there are people who are growing horticultural crops commercially and raising small animals like sheep and goats and chickens in urban and developed areas.
Right. Yeah.
So NRCS has just made a big effort to assist those producers. OCC also has. My team has two urban specialists, one in Oklahoma City and one in Tulsa, that are solely devoted to helping people become more connected to their land and their food in urban areas.
Right. And that's a big thing, especially since COVID. You know, COVID, that's when I sold the most tomatoes I've ever sold and growing in the garden and stuff, because people wanted homegrown stuff. Also with beef, you know, if you could get a appointment at a processor, they wanted to buy locally grown
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. COVID accelerated interest in local small food systems by a huge factor.
Yes, and they did I thought I had a question for you, but he was just making a good comment. Anyway, yeah, because I sold quite a bit of beef during that time period, and like I said, my vegetables, mainly squash and tomatoes and stuff, and you know, I've went to the no-till system on the farm and in the garden part, tried to, you know, and using, you know, with the help of a lot of Jimmy Emmons. He's a good friend of mine up at Leedy.
And Jimmy used to be a member of our team, but he has since moved on to work with Farm Journal.
Yeah, you see him on there. And Jimmy's really knowledgeable. And then my agronomist I have here, Kent, here down here at SEI, it's gone a long way. But one of the things, you know, not only is it better for the soil, but it actually saves you a lot of money expense-wise.
Oh, absolutely.
My fuel bill last year was a third, or just only a third of what it was the year before. And it's been going down for the last 5 years.
Now, there is extensive documentation now that adopting what we would call soil health practices saves producers a lot of input money. And the reason for that is because soil was intrinsically either designed or created by nature or whatever particular side of that debate you're on. But soil has the ability to do a lot of the things that we rely on inputs for. And the only reason that we've needed those inputs is because we have unknowingly destroyed the ability of the soil to do those things.
Right.
And so soil health really is based on soil microbiology and soil life. Bacteria, fungi, protozoa, nematodes, beneficial, and what we would consider to be pathogens are all involved in the farm and ranch ecosystem. And when we foster the health and the presence of those organisms, then that underpins the entire food chain on a farm or a ranch. And those microbiology organisms are what give soil its ability to do things that make it productive in agriculture. So the microbiology are responsible for maintaining soil aggregate structure, which reduces compaction and allows soil to catch and hold water. They increase soil organic matter percentage, which again is really important in catching and holding water, and also provides a bank of nutrients that can be cycled through into our crops and our grazing forages. These microbes also allow plants to communicate with one another. They mediate plant immunity. They unlock nutrients in the soil and make them available to plants, and they synthesize some nutrients that plants can't make themselves. So having a large and thriving community of soil microbes can save us a lot of money in fertility and can capture and hold and put to better use a lot more water.
And that's super important around this Western Oklahoma.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't get rain every other day. Mm-hmm. What's the difference in the climate here in where you come from up north? Quite a bit.
Well, we probably have about the same range of temperatures. Probably gets a little hotter here in the summer, but we get a lot less moisture. As up there, I remember when I first started out raising cattle, there was a time when we got a lake effect snowstorm and we got 7 feet of snow in one day.
How was that?
I'm just really glad that we had an old boss cow that knew her way to the barn, and she led the herd in because there was no way I was going to be able to do it.
Is that right?
I couldn't even see the cattle.
Yeah, so that worked out good, didn't it? But you're one of the lucky ones, probably.
Up in the northern U.S., especially in the dairy country areas, it is really just kind of unheard of to keep livestock outside of a barn in the winter.
Right.
The reason for that is because there's a lot of wet snowfall and just a lot of mud and a lot of precipitation.
Right. Just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I remember back in the 80s sometime, I went up to Nebraska. We went up there, northern Nebraska, to look at some cattle. And I was talking to some the people there, and I remember them. And as he says, that his wife and kids have a house in town for the winter. He stays out there during the winter. Unless the weather's clear or something, he probably never sees them. But anyway, he's built a deal where all of his cattle are inside. He cleans the manure out at least every day, if not every other day, feeds them inside. They don't see the sun until spring. So that's basically the same thing you're saying.
Yeah, I was an artificial inseminator on dairy farms for about 3 years while I was up there, and I really don't feel like the dairy industry is going to make a whole lot of money, especially small farmers, until they can get those cattle spreading their own manure and harvesting their own feed, which is putting those animals back out on the land.
Right.
Because separating the livestock from the land and putting them in confinement barns could be convenient from a milking standpoint, but it requires that you harvest all of that feed, bring it in and store it, mix it up, put it out to the livestock, then clean up all that manure and spread that manure. There's just a lot of oil and iron between the livestock and the land.
Right.
And the prices for that stuff is not going to come down.
No, and the prices for milk are way down, and they're having to feed the cheapest stuff they can get. And with that said, maybe the quality of milk in some places where they've had to tighten their feed program up, not intentionally, just the way it is, because the inputs, they've had to, maybe a little bit lower quality milk than normal. But anyways, well, we need to take a break. We went past our deal there. We need to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk to Meg about SHIP, which is the Soil Health Implementation Program that just came out last week, wasn't it, or a week before?
Applications open January 1st, and they will be open until March 1st.
Yeah, and we want to talk about that because this is a really good program. don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's not many other cost share and technical assistance opportunities in which a producer can get up to $40,000 in assistance over 3 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, because this is a little different with OCC. This is not just a one-year program. This is a three-year program. So this is pretty cool. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too. But everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet, so I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild, and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you, too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker. Every day.
I feel occasional burning and stabbing in my hands as I age.
I sometimes feel numbness and tingling in my feet as I get older.
It's starting to get in the way of doing what I love.
At Nervive, we hear you, and we can help. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use.
Now that I know, I'm taking control.
Try Nervive Nerve Relief and say yes to healthy nerves.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you need something and you could buy it now cheaper than later, it makes sense to buy it now. Lyle's giving you the opportunity to do the sensible thing. If you need ag tires, they're on sale until January 15th in Blair. Blair Tire and Feed's having a sale on all in-stock ag tires, including Firestone. The whole crew appreciates your business this year, and they're looking forward to helping you next year. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19. Pay less right now for all in-stock ag tires. This deal's good till January 15th.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, we're back. Here he is. Let me get my weather update going here. Lost it. Hang on here a second. There we go. All right. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. We're going to go with Hollis today. And right now it's 18 degrees at Hollis. That's a heat wave in this state. It feels like 4 degrees. Dew points at -3. Humidity's 40%. The winds are out of the northeast at 13. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature is 37 degrees. What do you think the soil temperature is with a cover crop on it?
There is definitely a big difference in soil temperatures whether you have cover on your soil versus not covered.
Right.
So I've got places on my ranch where I'm trying to put in the step-in post for my hot wire. Anywhere that the horses grubbed that buffalo grass down almost into the ground, those areas froze a lot quicker and a lot deeper than the areas under my blue stem dormant grass.
Right, I got you. So anyway, it's quite a bit. It's amazing. I took some temperatures of some no-till and some conventional this summer down around Altus on some cotton ground, and I was shocked. There was 20, 30 degrees difference in the two on a 110 degree day.
Oh, yeah. Covered versus uncovered soil in an Oklahoma summer has a lot different results when it comes to evaporation and water loss.
Okay, so today 18, mostly sunny at Hollis, 30 tomorrow, be nice tomorrow, tonight 7 for your low. That's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for Hollis, Oklahoma. All right, let's get back to the ship. Tell us about the ship, since I messed up about 4 minutes, so we got about 4 minutes left.
Okay, SHIP, the Soil Health Implementation Program, is a new program that has just been launched by the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, my team, the Soil Health team, and we are facilitating it through all of the local conservation districts. So applications are open from now until March 1st, and you will apply through your local conservation district. And the goal of this program is to assist producers over the long term with multiple practices in order to implement a system of soil health management. So whether you're a rancher or a farmer, urban or rural, you can apply for this program regardless of size. There is no acreage maximum or minimum. And we will choose between 25 and 40 producers out of our pool of applicants around the state. And so if you are chosen for the program, you will work with a member of my team to come up with a 3-year plan, which will not only address what you want to do with your property and meet your goals, but will address the principles of soil health management to improve your soil biology, which will therefore help you increase production, cut your inputs, and increase weather resilience on your operation so that you're more ready for the next drought or the next flood, heat wave, deep freeze. And so over the course of a 3-year commitment, we'll implement a step-by-step plan over those 3 years. Each producer is eligible for up to $40,000 in cost share assistance to help them implement those multiple practices that we decide will work for you.
Well, and so soil health is the main goal of this program, correct?
Absolutely.
Right.
So we are looking for producers who already have some familiarity with soil health or regenerative agriculture, have already taken their first steps, and really just could use some mentorship and a big financial boost to really step up what they're doing and take it to the next level.
Well, and then I also understand, because I've seen the program, so I called over that day. I was like, yeah, and, you know, there won't be no double dipping. If you're already in something with the NRCS, like your cover crop and stuff like that, there might be some, you probably might not qualify for some parts of this.
What's really great is that this is such an adaptive program. So if you already are involved in a cost share program, you are still eligible. We just won't pay you for the same practice on the same acreage. But it'll be pretty easy for us to plan around what you're already committed to.
Cool. That music's playing. That's the sound that we took up the whole hour. And I figured we would. That's why I had to come in earlier. Meg, thank you so much for coming in. If anybody's got any questions, just get a hold of their local conservation district. That'll work.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. You guys have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.
Plug in and stay connected.
Check us out.
Stay connected
on Facebook.
KECO.